Keys. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
And I think Matt is somewhere. Matt, are you there? Okay, maybe not. I know that he's Skyping in.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're not on.
Don't know. If only we knew. Don't say anything controversial.
I'm not saying anything. I'm saving that for when I know we're on. Well, we can play it like we're on, and then we'll figure out if we're really on.
Someone's bound to tell us.
It's probably because Matt waited till the last second to call in. We're going to blame Matt, you know, for all this anyway.
As we do for everything.
Momentarily, we're going to have the first, second, third, maybe the third or fourth slapper on. What do we call them? Are they fighters or MMA fighter or UFC fighter?
As I said to you before, this is very difficult because in Britain, a slapper does not mean what it means here in America. It means a lady of, let's say, loose morals.
Oh, okay. So there would be a lot of slappers here in Las Vegas.
Yes.
At the Apex and not at the Apex, walking down the strip. Matt, are you there? Okay, maybe not. I know that, like I said, I know that he is Skyping in. Momentarily, we're going to have Austin Turpin on, who I don't want to say he stole the show.
Oh, he stole the show.
Well, but
he stole the show.
Well, I think always when, and hopefully he's not hearing this because then he may come back and, you know, slap me around. obviously, if you have, well, and you know, we talk about this a lot, that fight of the night seems to always be the last fight.
Sure.
There could be two fights that are fairly equal.
Yeah.
But it's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, sure.
So, yes, Austin stole the show because he ended the show.
Yeah, I just think the nature of how he won, you know, for those people that watched it will understand, but, you know, he had a couple of fouls and it was all very tense and he's obviously a very, very big character. But then to close the show, you know, they always say greatness in sport is doing it when you need to, you know, and he certainly did that. The place was literally on the edge of the seats. He had one shot left and he caught a very game opponent and someone that's very well thought of in this sport or industry, however you want to term it, caught him right on the chin and the roof went off the Apex. It was an amazing moment. And like I said, the lad's a character. The lad's got a big future. You know, he's an entertainer.
The thing that I found funny about last night, and again, I don't know if this makes me the bad guy. I mean, am I the new Chael Sonnen, the bad guy? Because I liked it last night. I enjoyed it.
It's like a guilty pleasure. And I think once you get past that idea of going, even my wife says, yeah, but it can't be that entertaining. And I was like, well, the very first time I saw it, the first 5 minutes, we kind of looked at each other and I was a bit like, I'm not entirely sure what this is. But then the more you get engaged with the rules, certainly the production that the UFC team put on, you do get sucked into it. And then after a while, you go, I get it. And then you go, oh, my Lord, this is so much fun.
And then you go, because you did, I don't get it, because we still don't know the rules.
There's still some rules. Right. I'm a little, you know, we tried to find some people yesterday. But obviously, the nature of this, you know, like I said, no one does production like the UFC. So yesterday, everyone that was anybody in Vegas and from LA, we had football stars, we had MMA stars, we had billionaires, we had influencers. So it's a busy, busy place. So to try and nail someone down just to ask an intricate question wasn't the easiest thing to do. We need to ask Sal or someone like that will know the intricacies of the sport.
It was interesting, and we are still trying to get a hold of Austin. I'll text Dave Lockett in a minute. It started in controversy,
yeah,
and I tweeted it out.
Can you hear me, Randy?
How can that happen? So the first non-sexually related slapper of the night, since you said that's what slapper is, TKO'd.
Yes.
Okay, but typically when you think TKO, it's like the guy got punched, the guy got kicked, the guy got whatever, and was TKO'd.
Yeah.
In this particular case, it was the slapper, not the slappy, who got TKO'd.
Yes, yes.
How did that happen? It happened because he injured his hand.
But in a little bit of controversy, because at the end of the event, when we went to the media room, and you know, at the end of these events, for anyone that's never been involved in this, you know, the, all of the main event winners come in to the media room here at the Apex, and they speak to the press, and then after that, Dana White comes in and tells you who's got the bonuses, blah, 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 blah. Very, very similar to the UFC. And he was asked by a member of the media whether he thought it was a dubious pullout, because basically the lad, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but
neither will anybody else.
He went for the slap. He didn't have much effect. And when it was his turn to get slapped, he started saying his hand was broken. And obviously the doctors come in and they don't want to take any chances. You know, the Nevada State Athletic Commission have done a great job kind of regulating this. The doctors come in and they say he can't continue. So it was a bit of a sour start to the whole event. And then they figure out that he didn't break his hand. And Dana, I wouldn't like to say questioned it, but whether you questioned his bravery, whether the guy's got a bad sprain, we don't know. But it was certainly questioned.
Let's try for a third time.
Go for it.
Matt, are you there? Matt says he's on, but Matt is not there.
I know.
Or it's typical Matt has nothing to say yet.
This is just tragic.
So when we go to a break, which will be here shortly, you know, we'll try to reach back out to Matt. Here's something that I did think about. I'm going to give, you know me, I'm the naive guy. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it this way.
Sure.
Let's say he did sprain his hand.
Yeah.
He didn't break it.
Yeah.
But it hurts.
Yeah.
And this is me thinking for him. I'm not going to be able to slap. I'm not going to be able to use my hand. I'm not. Now, some people would fight through it and all that.
Yeah.
And my thinking is, I know that I can't slap again. Why would I let him slap me now and then me bow out?
Yeah, but there's an element of this is a sort of, you know, a gladiatorial sport, and it's one man in this situation, one man versus another. And let's take honor out of it, because I believe that you should always have common sense in these kind of situations, not honor. But at the end of the day, anyone that's ever boxed or done any kind of fighting with their fists will know that when you bust your hand, pretty quickly afterwards, the adrenaline kind of takes over, especially in that, you know, in that environment. The adrenaline does take over. And if it was me, if I'd have broke my hand, I'd have slapped him again. Because in that situation, you know, you're not fighting for another 3 or 4 months. So, and you're not exactly closing your fist. So I think it seemed a little bit of a cop-out for me. I've got to say, from someone that has busted his hand and fought with it, I think any fighter that'll, especially in the professional leagues, will tell you that your hand numbs up pretty quickly, especially with adrenaline pumping through you. And it actually sometimes becomes more dangerous because you're really not feeling it because of the adrenaline. So I don't know.
Hello?
I don't know the lad. I saw him previously and he was perfectly fine. So I don't think it's a question of bottle.
Right.
I don't know what happened, but I don't think that will be looked on favorably, because at the end of the day, this is a rough sport and you've got to have cojones. I'm not entirely sure we can say cojones, but...
Well, you can say cojones, or you can say two good hands.
Two good hands. There you go.
All right, let's go hit our first break. Coming to you live from the Apex Center. A lot to talk about. Dana White contended. We did slap last night. This weekend. This Saturday. Hopefully not.
And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back with you live from the Apex. Were you getting ready to belt that out?
Oh, cold as ice. What a tune. I was thrilled, actually, because recently I found out that Foreigner were founded by a British person. Thrilled. Another great band that we can say was ours.
Who founded that? I always thought they were.
No. It was American, obviously. Lou Gramm and everyone else in the band was American, apart from the guitarist who founded the band in New York.
Really?
And he was from London. I was like, yes, having that one.
Before I ask you a band question, Matt, are you there?
I am here, and I like Cold as Ice. That's a great song.
We missed you, mate.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm good, pal. We missed you.
Next time we're going to start 20 minutes. The next time we're going to start 20 minutes early, so you'll be on time.
Well, speaking of as cold as ice, Albuquerque, where I'm flying out to in about 3 hours for BKFC number 48. Yesterday, I was on the FaceTime with DJ Tony, and it went from 90 degrees to 65 degrees and hail. So there was ice everywhere in Albuquerque yesterday.
Well, I'd say something's happening with the weather. Because yesterday morning, I went to the gym, I sat by my pool, it was 110 degrees in Vegas, and right now it looks like Sri Lanka in a monsoon season. It has dropped like 40 degrees.
Wow.
So it's either global warming or Armageddon or something that's happening weird in the world.
All right, let me go off script for a minute, because we normally don't talk music.
Okay.
And we're not going to talk about you personally on music, but this is a question, and Steve and I kind of joke about this all the time. Do you consider, pick a band, it don't matter, Little River Band.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Little River Band is not Little River Band, because nobody that was in Little River Band is in Little River Band now.
Okay.
I believe when I went to see them and I Googled them, they're from Kansas now.
Sure.
Not down under.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that still Little River Band? Is it a cover band? What is it?
I always think this happened with the band in the 60s that my dad used to play with called The Searchers. And there was a big thing, I believe it was in the 70s, that after their heyday, the band split up. And one had the name of called The Searchers, and the other one was a guy called Mike Pender who co-founded them, and he called themselves Mike Pender Searchers. And that's how they got around the trademark thing. There was a whole thing about it. But what I think makes it is, if you've got a bona fide member of that band that was there when it was creative and the music was written and you're leading the charge and maybe you've got some young, you know, young bucks behind you, whatever it may be, I kind of have no problem with it. You know, I mean, it's funny when you, I saw The Who here and you see Daltrey and you see Pete Townsend and Zach Starkey was on the kit. Now it's not Keith Moon, but it's Zach Starkey. And you're going, is that The Who? And you're going, yeah, of course that's The Who. Cause it's the singer and it's the writers and it's the guitarist, you know? But I think it's whoever the heart of the band is. It's like AC/DC. People would say that when Bon Scott died in AC/DC and Brian Johnson took over, that it wasn't really AC/DC anymore. But you're going, yeah, but it was the Scott brothers, the guitarists, that started the band. So for me, it will always be about them, you know?
So is it ridiculous from a guy who just recently learned that lyrics mean something? Okay? And that's a true story. So... I know I've told you the story about the Daughtry song and how emotional that is to me. So we went up to Jacksonville, and Steve drove us around to all the Lynyrd Skynyrd sites.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a funny one.
So so we went to what most people think is called the Jug, when it was really called the Pastime.
Sure.
And then they just put up another plaque. And so when the lady's explaining that this is literally where he stood, when the guy came in and pointed the gun, and he said, give me three steps.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
So this really happened. It opened a whole new world, right? I now know that some songs have meaning. But what I'm getting at is, for it to be the band, does it have to be the singer? Should it be the singer? And I don't want to be disrespectful. You know, it's a guitar player. It's a drummer. But it's the voice.
I suppose it's like anything. You know, is going to see Foreigner with Kelly Hansen rather than Lou Gramm, Foreigner? You sort of go, no, but is it Foreigner's music being played and performed to the very highest level? Yeah, of course it is. So would I go? Yeah. I love Lou Gramm, who's one of my favorite singers of all time, but Kelly Hansen's a great singer. So when you go and see them, you go, well, it's not the guys, but it's almost the guys, you know? The one I love about this is Chicago, because I love Chicago, because my dad played with Chicago many years ago. And when you go and
be careful here.
When you go and see Chicago...
I have a friend.
Okay. You have friends everywhere. But
Jason Schaff is my buddy.
But when you go and see Chicago and you look at let's say 50% of the guys that are still up there doing it, they were there right at the beginning. But for people leaving and people passing away, you're watching Chicago, and that's an amazing thing to see Jim Pankow and Lee Loane and you know, all those kind of guys giving it the business and you knowing that they were there right at the beginning.
And again, I don't want to be disrespectful. Playing the trombone is one thing. You know, it's the voice. You know, even though Jason Schaff wasn't, you know, the original singer either.
Listen, I'm going to have to stick up for the horn section because my father was a horn player.
Well, so was I.
Chicago's whole sound comes from Jim Pankow and Lee on the trumpet because of the way that they orchestrated the song.
Sure.
Because you had, you know, Peter Cetera when it all got a bit soft and a little bit like...
Right.
You know, I'm not, you know... But I just think the sound of Chicago was always going to be that horn, those horn arrangements.
All right, now let me transition to a second. Let's try again. Matt, are you there? Matt, are you there? Can you pay attention? Can you wake up?
Of course.
Okay. I'm here. Of course. So my question to you is, before I ask the question, what are your thoughts on that? Is the band the band, or does the band have to be a percentage of, or the lead singer? Or give me your take before I ask your question.
I mean, I hate to agree with Randy, but I do think it's the voice. I mean, you know, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, you know, Van Halen. You know, I think it's the voice. You know, and they're both great. The band itself, the music is iconic, but I mean, both voices. You know, it makes it what it is.
I didn't want him to agree with me because then I was going to say. You know, Matt always goes crazy about when he makes the pizza, it's torta pizza. When other people make it, like, you know, his thing about the secret shopper, right?
No.
He thinks a secret shopper should call torta pizza and say, is Matt there? Okay, I'm coming to do a secret shopping.
Wow, well, hey, no, smart business.
I don't agree with that. No, that's not my stance. My stance is this. If you're going to be a person of influence who you can actually destroy a small family business because you don't like the reputation, you don't like the location, you don't like the city that it's in, you don't like the color of the hair of the server. If you're a big influencer of another network and you have no skin in the game and you can destroy somebody's livelihood, I think you should at least give the owner an opportunity to put their family's product first, front and center. Like, so come into the mystery shop, rate it. But then give the owner a chance to actually represent their family and their brand and their product, and then give a combined score of where you are. Now, I get Randy's stance. I get it. As a general public, they come in, they should get the same product every single time, and it should be consistent, and your staff should be trained, and everybody should get the best of the best always, right, for their hard-earned money.
Or we could just have them killed. I've got a guy in Vegas that could just deal with all of these problems.
Oh, that happens on that happens on a regular basis at Torta Pizza, believe me.
But the reality of it is, you know, and I'm going to say this with all nothing disrespectful, but let's just call it what it is. People that are wealthy or people that are successful, they trade their money for time, for efficiency, for conveniences. And people of the entry-level workforce trade time for money, right? So the state of Florida, or in my case, dictates what that value is worth. So at its root, I deal with people who are okay with just getting by, who are just okay with the state telling them what their value is worth. So I have to rely on those type of people and those mentalities to represent my family brand. You know, I took out the risk. I took out the loan. I put everything in out there to make something happen. But at the end of the day, I still rely on these people to do it the same way that I would do it with my own passion, my own care, my own product. So I think if you're going to have the influence and power of millions and millions of followers, and with one review you can destroy somebody's livelihood, I think it's wrong. I think it's BS.
But that's like a bigger question. Phil, I was having this conversation the other day, is people said about the social media thing, and they said, and I was like, I think the worst thing that happened with social media was it gave everyone a voice. And I genuinely don't think everyone should have a voice, because I think unless you're speaking with authority on something that you really know, then you shouldn't really be able to express. For me personally, I'm like, what's the, and let's, you know, take it back to fighting. When you get a fight and you get some fat, you know, miserable.
Again, be careful here.
So and so.
Don't call Randy names. Listen, Jimmy.
Someone's sitting on the couch watching the UFC and they're going, oh, that guy bottled it. Oh, that was terrible. And you're kind of going, hang on a minute. You could never even get into the arena. You probably can't even afford a ticket for the actual event. Never mind train all of your life in BJJ and all the other stuff to get yourself into that situation. So it's one of those things. Social media has kind of brought out this demon in lots of people where, like I said, you can have, and what affects me is, especially with show reviews, which I understand, Matt, is like you can have 99% five-star reviews of your show, and then one person or they've had a bad experience, which could be something to do with you or not, and that's the one that people focus on. And they, you know, the producers come to you and go, oh, we've had a bad review, and you're going, of course you're going to get a bad review. As long as you don't get 99-1 the other way, then we're all good. But that's the way the world is, unfortunately.
Before we hit the bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, Jason Knight on last night's episode, what did you call it when they mess up?
What's that?
Well, you said if somebody does something wrong, you used a word. I called it like... And I don't want people to think that I'm changing it because it's one letter. I'm not. Like when Rapinoe missed that kick, you know, she had a duck. She ducked it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what word you. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
And a whole lot more when we return. But Jason Knight will talk about last night's episode when we return. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex Center. I kind of fumbled with because I had to be careful that I said duck. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Ernie Harwell of the Detroit Tigers, and I want to recommend Talking Sports with Randy Harris, one of the great shows of all time.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
If you've never been to Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches before, there really is no comparison. Ike's is about love first, then sandwiches, which is why they take extra special care to make sure there are great options for every kind of eater. No other restaurant in the world has more kick-ass options and endless combinations for meat lover, vegetarian, vegan, halal, and gluten-free. Dutch clutch bread paired with Ike's exclusive dirty sauce, a creamy garlic aioli toasted right into the bread, is a transcendent experience that will electrify your taste buds. Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches has been voted the best sandwiches in the world by Ike's mom. Place your order for irresistible and unforgettable sandwiches for pickup or delivery at ikesandwich.com or through the Ike's Lovin' Sandwich app.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Matt Millen down in Tampa, you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back. Coming to you live from the Apex here as we get ready for this Saturday's UFC. We talked a little bit about last night's snap. We still need to talk about Tuesday's Dana White contender series that we were out here for. But we're also still continuing the tough. And now as we get closer to the tough finale, let's do our weekly tough update with our correspondent. So, Knight, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm at work taking a little, a few minutes break and getting my radio call in.
Well, and as always, we appreciate your bosses letting you do that. Let's get right into it. Last night, big episode we were all looking forward to. Talk about the episode first, then we'll talk about the fight.
Man, it was actually a pretty good episode. They showed my prayer at weigh-in, so I was definitely happy about that. And they kind of, you know, showed a little bit of the backstory about the fight. You know, me and Kurt had made an agreement that we were going to stand up and bang it out and only go for a takedown if we got hurt. You know, which, of course, I got hurt a few times, but I was there to bang, you know.
Is it hard to, like keep that? You know, you make an agreement, yeah, you're friends. It's still ultimately about winning the fight. Was there ever a time that you thought maybe I should, or was it, hey, I gave my, and I know you well enough, I gave my word and I'm sticking to it?
For me, it was just, I gave my word, I'm sticking to it. You know, and the agreement was if we got hurt, which, you know, of course I got hurt. I had every right to take a shot. But, you know, in my eyes, That would be me saying, hey, I give up on our agreement. I'm going for a takedown. You know, I admitted that I got hurt if I went for that takedown. And, you know, there's none of that in me. There's no quit. I was standing there trying to land the big shot that made him start going backwards and turn the fight around and put it on my side instead of his side. But, you know, that shot never came. I never could land, you know, the one big punch that made him go backwards and let me take over. So, you know, that's just, it is what it is. I had fun. I fought my heart out, and I'm pretty confident that I did enough to get me a shot in the UFC again.
Jason, this is Jimmy Randy's co-host. I watched the episode, and I think firstly, as a fan of the sport, I think the reason this sport is so amazing is because of fighters like you and Kurt. First of all, this is the entertainment business, and that was by far the most entertaining fight I've seen in a very long time. And one question that I get asked a lot working here is, how do you stay friends with someone that you're about to go in and literally go to war with, or have the moment? I've just said the war word. Randy hates me using the term war when we're talking about fights. But you guys, literally, the honor that you handled yourselves with throughout that week going into the fight and then during the fight is something that I think should be incredibly applauded. And even though you didn't get the result that you wanted, every person that I've shown that to goes, oh my god, when can we see that guy fight again? So I think even though you didn't get the result you wanted, because you got home to your families, you put on an amazing performance, and I can't wait, and I very much hope this means we'll see you back in an octagon very, very soon, because I'll be tuning in, brother, because what you did for the sport, the two of you, there was no trash talk. It was all about prayers, love. Let's get in. Let's get out. Let's get back to our families. And I think just as a fan, I'd like to say thank you, because that doesn't happen very much in this day and age. So you're two class acts. So well done, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we were there to do a job. It was just business. We knew, going into it, exactly what we were getting into, because I knew Kurt personally. Kurt knew me personally. He knew that, if I stuck to this agreement, I made this agreement, I was going to stick to this agreement. And I knew, deep down that he's going to stick to this agreement. We were planning on going out there, putting on a war that, was guaranteed to get us both the contract, and, something that we could both be proud of. And, we went out there and we delivered. So that there was absolutely no reason for any kind of animosity towards each other or anything like that. So that's kind of where you see that come from. We both had a major respect for each other, and we knew that that's what we were going in there to do. And at the end of the day, it's just business. I planned on getting hit hard. I planned on hitting him hard, and that's kind of how it came out.
I'm one of those guys, I hate hypotheticals. If I win the lottery, I'll do this. Well, it's hypothetical, because will you? So a couple episodes ago, and you and I have talked about it since, and I've talked about it to the other fighters as well, when you said that if they switch me to Conor McGregor's team, I'm leaving. And a lot of people didn't believe it. A lot of people said, well, it's hypothetical, it didn't happen. I think that just proved that your word means everything, that you would have left the house if that happened.
Oh, 100%, man. I talk to you every week. I'm at work right now, and I'm making money. I will live without fighting. You know what I'm saying? I will live without making it to the UFC. My life changes absolutely none if I don't make it to the UFC. It goes right back to the day-to-day. My kids still love me. My girlfriend still loves me. UFC is not everything to me like it once was. I would love to make it back. Don't get me wrong. But if they try to make me go against my morals are more important than making it to the UFC. Maybe, 10 years ago, whenever I was super hungry and that was everything, maybe they could have made me switch teams. But nowadays, I've been there, I've done that, I've lived that dream. It's not even a dream no more. Nowadays, it's just a goal, just to get back there, prove to myself that I can make it back to the UFC, make some money to, buy some land, build a house. That's all that I need to do. And I've lived every dream except for buying the land, building the house of my dreams, and that's the only reason I'm still doing this. I love fighting, don't get me wrong. But I've got three kids, and at separate times, they've all three asked me, hey, Daddy, I think you need to quit fighting. Will you quit fighting? And I had to tell them, look, I've got a little bit more that I got to do. There's a few more things that I got to cross off that box, and then I'll quit. So, you know, that's the plan. Get back to the UFC, make enough money to build my dream house, and, you know, kind of set up some kind of future for my children. After that, I'm out of here. You know, I'm not going to be the guy who's 45 still chasing it. You know, I'm going to, you know, probably 35, and I'm hanging it up. I've been fighting for 17 years now. I started when I was 14. And by the time I'm 35, that's 21 years. That's over half my life. That's way more than enough time, you know, to get out there and lay my body on the line.
For sure. Jason, let me ask you this. And again, and I always say this, the disclaimer, we're only talking up through the episode that we saw last night. Did Dana say anything to you after the fight that wasn't shown? Was anything not shown last night that we can talk about?
As soon as the fight was over, I walked over to Dana. They didn't show that. I walked over to Dana, and I was like, man, I told you we were going to bang. He's like, dude, you just had fight of the effing season. And, you know, that right there tells me he was impressed. And, you know, during the fight and, you know, up until Tuesday night when I actually got to watch it, I thought that I did way worse than I did. You know, I thought that it was just me getting my tail beat, and which I did. Don't get me wrong. Kurt was on point that night. I wasn't. You know, it was the weirdest fight of my life. I was in there with no adrenaline pumping. You know, normally my adrenaline's pumping. I never feel a punch. Well, I was in there with no adrenaline, and every single punch Kurt hit me with, I felt it. It hurt. And, you know, that was just a weird occasion for me. But I when I went back and watched the fight, you know, I was giving it back to him as well. I was making sure that I landed some punches. He got hit with some good shots, you know, but he didn't wear them, you know, as bad as I did. Every punch that he hit me with was damaging. Every punch that I hit him with, he walked right through. But at the same time, you got to think, I'm a 145er. I'm a featherweight through and through. You know, no matter how much I eat, I can't get over about 158 pounds. So walking around that house the whole time, I'm 158. I'm 2 pounds out from making weight. And these guys, they're having the diet and everything else. I'm eating pizza and whatever I want to eat. And, you know, Kurt's on a strict diet to make sure that he stays close enough to weight to make weight. And whenever we go into the fight, I guarantee you he was probably at least a good 10 pounds heavier than me, with more muscle mass and more strength. So, you know, the fact that I lost, I don't care. I put on a performance, I had fun, and that's all I was there to do.
Listen, we certainly had fun. There's just one thing I just wanted to ask you. You mentioned all the way through the season that you have a very close family. And you're doing all this for your family. Here's an interesting thing. If your kids, when they get of age, said, Dad, I want to fight. I want to fight MMA. I want to be a professional like you were. Is that something that you would entertain? Or is it more of a situation of you fight so they don't have to? How do you feel about that?
The way I look at it is this. You know, my mom, she supported me through, you know, whatever journey that I wanted to do in this life. She's there 100% of the way, and she backed me. She might not have liked, you know, watching me get cut or get, you know, these bumps and bruises and concussions and stuff like that, but she supported me. So no matter what, you know, my kids decide to do in this life, I'm going to back them 100%. But to answer your question, do I want them to fight? No, definitely not. You know, not so much as the taking damage and stuff like that. It's more of the highs and the lows of being a fighter. You know, this sport is unlike any other sport in this world. The highs are extremely high and the lows are extremely low. And I don't want my kids to ever have to, you know, experience that. It's a rough life trying to be a fighter. All the sacrifices you have to make. You know, you go to, like, for instance, I go to work. I get off. And then whenever I go train, I got to go an hour away, train for a couple hours, come home, get home at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, get a shower, get up, go back to work again the next morning. And that's just a rough-ass life to live, and I don't want my kids to have to go through that I hope that, you know, they go to college and make a living some other way.
Beautiful. For sure. Jason, as always, thank you for your update. We'll have you on like we do every week next week. And I'm going to end it with this. Thank you for cleaning up the one word that Dana said, because I'm sure he didn't say F.
Yeah, he definitely did.
All right, Jason, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. I appreciate y'all having me on the show.
Take care. Jason Knight, last night's competitor, I would imagine, and again, and I continue to say it because people don't believe me, I know nothing. I don't know about the show until Tuesday of the show. Sometimes I get the screener Monday night,
yeah.
But I don't know what happened next. I didn't know Jason didn't win last night,
yeah.
You know, until Monday. So I literally don't know. I would assume, I would hope that he will be on the finale card.
I hope so.
And, you know, after that, he fights in the right weight class. He gets, you know, and hopefully he does get the opportunity.
Like
again.
I said, at the end of the day, this is the, you know, this is the entertainment business.
Do you want to be an effing fighter? Jason Knight does. Let's go hit a quick break, coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for fight night on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we return. Brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Hi, this is Bill Romanowski, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sebastian Bourdais, two-time Firestone Grand Prix winner, driver of the Honda number 18 for Daikon Racing with Vassar and Sullivan, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
We're back. One segment left of hour number one.
I don't know who's doing the tunes back at the station, but this is awesome.
Well, I've said numerous times that the coming in and out of breaks are better than the show itself.
Oh, my God. Question.
Let's find out if Matt's still alive. Matt, are you there?
I'm still here. I was just taking some fact-checking notes from last segment, making sure the show's accurate and correct.
Hey,
come out of that old liner from the last segment. It was said follow us on Twitter. I don't think Twitter's a thing anymore. I think Elon Musk has changed it to X.
Oh.
So we might have to edit that liner. And then Jimmy, moving right into the co-host spot, introducing himself as a co-host, dropping the war references.
Really,
just going off on his own. I like it.
Let me just say this part. I'm happy you finally have done something. You know, at least you've done something this time. It's been years. You finally have. Okay, we got to change the Twitter liner. We'll do that. All right. I am willing to make a change with you, Matt. All right. And I just thought of it. So I have a fight lined up for Matt.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Have I introduced you to the person?
No.
Okay. He is here today.
No
so
way.
So I will introduce you to him.
Fabulous.
Okay.
But Matt, I'm going to give you the option. Okay, you can make this decision. I won't because I know what I would do. I am willing to change the opponent. If you're game, We can change it. Sight unseen, you don't know who this is. Jimmy doesn't know who it is. But if you would like, since you just said those things you did, we can change it from him to Jimmy.
Depends on the sport.
Boxing. Yeah, well, he's going to box. Are you gonna box? Don't say nothing. Don't say.
I want the first guy.
I mean, Jimmy's a good choice.
Jimmy's a big guy, got long reach. He's a true professional in the sport. He grew up loving it. He knows the matrix and the angles and the, you know, the sport itself, the movement. So I think I'll take sight unseen.
Do you know why Jimmy knows the movements and the distance and stuff? Because he is a boxer.
Well, I knew that, but you know, he's a musician first in my heart. And then he's a boxer.
Matt, I'll tell you this. Get me into the second round and I'll gas.
But I've got to run real fast for like 3 minutes.
I've got 3 minutes.
We'll use like a small, you know, like the Trigon or something. So neither one of you can run. We can just watch it bang a little bit. But yeah, I will introduce Jimmy to your opponent. And because I trust him, I will let him even talk about the opponent without saying his name or whatever, so the buildup will be outstanding.
So when is this happening?
When I put it together.
So this is, okay, so this is genuinely a real thing, because I thought it was BJJ you were doing. So you're going to have a boxing match?
No, he was going to do a jiu-jitsu thing against David Vieira, a fifth-degree black belt.
Okay.
Which, he has a better chance of outboxing you in the first minute than beating David Vieira on the ground. And he can't outbox.
Well, listen, I'm undefeated in boxing as well. Jimmy, I've never lost in boxing.
But, you have a belt in BJJ, right?
Well, no, he has a belt from Kmart.
Okay.
And I have a Mission belt. They're one of our sponsors of the show.
Okay.
It is lovely. It's got a little clasp, no loops. Like, you know, it's a nice
belt. I get you.
but Jimmy, it doesn't matter. I'm undefeated in all martial arts. I've never lost.
Amazing.
He's never fought.
Amazing.
Right.
Like Wes Sims always said, don't let the truth get in the way of a great story.
Well, that's the truth. So yeah, I've never done
it. So is there a time frame on this? Match?
We're going to talk. See, again, I don't know how big I want to make this. Now, I know Matt enough that he wants this to be, you know, he thinks kind of like what Jason Knight just said, that he's not. He's disappointed, but he put on a great fight, which this won't be. We already know that. You know, so Matt just wants to see millions and millions and millions of people see him. I just don't know if he really wants to see millions and millions and millions of people see him, you know, face up 30 seconds into the fight.
Well, you're underestimating me. And
this is it.
I mean, I'm so close to the fight game that I could steal the stats sheets. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in the camp. I have enough experience, like being around these guys. I have enough knowledge of the sport. I'm going out to be with JR for his title fight tomorrow for the flyweight belt, you know, against John Dodson from the UFC.
He's fighting John Dodson.
I get guys, I train with guys, or I train guys that are at the highest level in different sports. So even though I haven't put myself in a competitive situation for the public to see, I have enough experience and knowledge and passion for the sport that I'm fairly confident that no matter who you put over there, like in your little magic fight you're designing, I know that I'm not going to embarrass myself. I may lose, but that's part of every fight, right? And every fighter has to deal with that fear of loss. So, you know, one of us is going to win, but I can guarantee you I'm going to earn some respect from whoever you put me against, including yourself, Randall.
I respect you much, but here's the one thing that I will say about you, and this I'm willing to put money on. You know, Matt does the, you know, he trains fighters. He has this apparatus on the back of his truck, yada, 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 yada. I know that's a song as well. I'm willing to bet that after Matt gets knocked out and he's looking face up and he sees his opponent, the first words out of Matt's mouth to the opponent that just knocked him out is, "Hey, can I get you on the GNAT? My truck's outside."
Yeah, because I'll be like, look, I can train you to be better than that. I mean, that was, but what if I shocked the world, Randall? Like, what if I actually knocked this dude out, whoever you put in front of me? And then you're like, oh my God, like what? Like because here's one thing about me. When I make a commitment mentally, my discipline training, my mental focus, I rode a bicycle to New York. I became a world champion, a Mr. Universe AMBF pro bodybuilder eating nothing but a junk food. So when
is this a quick story?
No, but when I put my mind to something, when I literally put my heart and my soul into one purpose, man, nobody's been able to beat me yet. So I don't care what
I'm doing. Why don't we
Matt's getting riled.
As the kind of intermediary, I'm going, listen, why don't we put something on Randy then? Why don't we say that if you win, Matt, Randy has to do something and we can
get
choose what
he has to get a tattoo that says I'm the goat.
He has to get a tattoo. Yeah, okay. He has to get like a I don't know.
We already have that bet in place.
Like a New York Yankees tattoo.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Like
that ain't happening. Jews don't get tattoos on purpose. Okay, and we'll leave it at that. But that's already down. You know, the BJJ against David Vieira.
Yeah.
So if we're going to put something on it,
yeah.
I'm going to the shore thing.
Yeah, but there has to be some peril here.
No, that we'll go to the shore thing.
To be some peril.
I only gamble when I'm 100% sure. I'm so sure that I don't gamble. I bought a ticket to that $1 billion Powerball and threw it away before they pulled the numbers. That's how sure I am.
There's logic there, not very good logic.
And here's the sad thing. When I saw the announcement that a ticket was bought in Florida,
yeah,
I got a little nervous. When the ticket was bought at Publix, I had to go to the bathroom.
Can I tell you a story about the lottery? I have a friend of mine that will remain nameless because his wife still doesn't know this story 25 years on. My dad's best friend had the Inland Revenue, which is like your IRS here, battering his door down for hundreds of thousands of dollars. His business was in turmoil. He had heart problems. He's only in his early 40s. His wife was going to leave him because of the stress. This is all the true story. And they went away to look at possibly moving to America. So they moved to America. They went out for 6 weeks to do a little recce and to have a little look at houses and schools for the little one.
Can I just ask a question?
What's that?
What's recce?
Recce, like to overlook it all, to assess the situation.
Thanks.
And what they did was we have the National Lottery in Britain that covers all of Britain and Northern Ireland. And he put his National Lottery ticket on Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday and Saturday is every draw. He puts the same numbers on and he pays for 6 weeks worth of tickets while he's away. Now imagine he's in hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. His wife still doesn't know this story. Thankfully, she's probably not going to listen to this show. And or I hope not. And they go away and they arrive back in Britain on the Friday. On the Saturday, his numbers came up. All six numbers, he would have won £10 million. And he hadn't put the ticket on to cover that Saturday. So his wife still to this day doesn't know that they actually would have got out of all their troubles. Ironically, he then created a business and went on to be a multimillionaire, which was amazing. But he actually had the ticket right back on the Friday night and thought, don't worry, I've put the Saturday night's ticket on. I would have done that. And he didn't, and all six numbers came up. And he told my father that story, literally quivering. And like I said, it was a great story because over the next 15 years, he moved to America and made his millions.
How long, this is a typical one of my questions, Matt. How long from the time that he blew the Saturday ticket until he did start making some money?
Oh, about 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
He only started making money in his like his late 50s type of thing. And he did that in America. You know, he has to thank the good old US of A for that one. But wow. Yeah. So this is it. Don't throw away your tickets, Randy.
Yeah,
in fact, I'll tell you what. Don't buy lottery tickets.
Well, I normally don't.
But Jimmy, you're trying to convince a man who judges boxing events, turns in his scorecard, and before they actually raise the hand of the winner, is already in his car, in traffic, calling back to the arena to find out who actually won.
Listen, I've been at UFC events where the main fight has gone on for slightly too long, but there's a red eye back to Tampa. I've been sat in the media area and going, where's those two seats Steve and Randy have gone?
Yeah, well, and that's a true story. But it also, see, you're making it as a negative, and I know we only have about another 90 seconds. You're making that story about the judging as a negative. I make that as a positive. I am able to judge a fight and turn the ballot in seconds after. You know, sometimes people think, no, you don't think. You know, as soon as the ding, 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 and we're going to talk about the slap, slap, slap.
Okay.
When we come back. But as soon as the ding, ding, ding comes in, you have to be ready, prepared to turn the ticket in. And I did turn it in. I put it through the fence. And I did call the referee, who was a friend of mine, and said, hey, I'm already on the Howard Franklin. Who won the fight?
But don't you want to, like, look over to the other two judges and say, hey, What do you guys think? Like, you know, like in school when you cheat off your neighbor, yeah. Don't you want to like look at their scorecard and like, you know, make sure you get it right?
First of all, I do get it right. I'm in my opinion, I'm the best judge there is. I have always been on the right side. Except I think there was one time and they were wrong. We'll talk more about this when we come back. We're at the top of the hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Rick Barry, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.